Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside Hour 3, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy. You like good theater, don't you?
Woo-hoo. If someone landed from outer space, an alien shows up and says, can you please explain the Raiders in one stretch of game? I would say, yes, watch overtime of this game in which they throw the game-winning touchdown, but it gets ruled short of the goal line. The Raiders run three plays that don't get in, and they throw a pick on the last play. Then they get a fumble recovery, and then they wind up trotting out the field goal unit to try to kick one on second down, even though it's a 45-yarder, but they get a delay a game, so they have to send the field goal unit back off the field, and then they throw a touchdown pass on a really craptastic defensive call by the Ravens that maybe Greg Williams was calling that defense. That is how you would explain the Las Vegas Raiders and their win over the Ravens, 33-27. Derek Carr just chucks up a touchdown pass at the end. It really was crazy. The Raiders had the game a couple of times. They gave it away a couple of times. But Zay Jones, wide open at the five-yard line, comes down with a touchdown pass, and the Raiders win it over the Ravens. Joining us now on the hotline, no one better than CBS Sports NFL insider extraordinaire Jason Lockenfora and Baltimore resident who has just downed an entire bottle of Pepto-Bismol in overtime of this game. Jay, what's happening?
Hey, I'm good either way. Our phone lines will be lighting up tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
We're gonna have to, we'll limit it to just one segment. But, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people on hold tomorrow.
You know, that's the point when you realize you've gone from, hey, I'm a fan to a fan and where I work, because it's like, oh, hey, man, we're going to get a lot of phone calls. This is going to be great. We're going to get phone calls on this.
Yeah, I mean, when you cover the league like I do, you don't really, you know, you root to, like, I root that I make the 8 o'clock train out of Penn Station every Sunday night. Like, that's what I'm rooting for. But, what a bizarro game. But certainly, this is not the Ravens of the last 2 years. You know, they get the early lead like that on the road against a team that historically has not been good against the run. And usually, they're going to bludgeon them to death. And they've got issues right now. The right tackle is terrible. I'm not sure how much better the right guard is. And they've got about $16 million tied up in those two. Ronnie Stanley, clearly coming back from major ankle surgeries, is not himself. And so much of the uniqueness of the way they run the ball is that stuff with the mesh point. And is it in the gut? Is it out of the gut? Who's got it? The deception. They pretty much got away from it because they've barely repped it. Latavius Murray practiced like one day and got on a plane. And Tyson Williams has been on the practice squad. He's run a lot of scout team stuff, but he hasn't had as many reps running what at least used to be the core of a lot of their rushing attack. And you only get so many practices a week, and you know that you take that stuff away and you've got big problems. And defensively, they were on the field much longer than they're used to, because this is a team that usually dominates the time of possession. But when they're not running the ball the way they're accustomed to, where they don't have that confidence there, where they don't have that volume there, this is a defense that's a little long in the tooth in a lot of spots. And as this game wore on, you saw that go. And really, you know, Wink Martindale, live by the sword, die by the sword. He loves to blitz. He likes to bring five or more. I mean, I can't wait to crunch the numbers tomorrow. But they were getting just absolutely gashed when they brought numbers by Derek Carr. And I think the combination of those two things really told the story of the game. And, I mean, all those people out there, what an amazing experience. What a wild game. What a way to christen a stadium.
Well, you know, but before we get into the Raiders aspect of this, because, look, as everything you said being so accurate, the Raiders still tried to hand the game back to the Ravens on many occasions. You got to talk about Lamar and those two fumbles. I mean, not taking care of the football. And these are two plays where he's got to hold on to that, right? He's going down for a dive, hold on to the football. He's trying to get out from to make a play, and he's got the ball out in his right hand. That's an easy bat away in traffic there. Those two fumbles.
Well, the second one, I mean, the offensive line is garbage. So, I mean, the second one, I mean, they got a lot of bodies in there. The first one, yeah, it's the willfully leaving your feet to try to get yards head first. I think that's when you really open yourself up. Rather than leading with your feet and sliding, you know, like in the second base, when you launch yourself forward and now you're flying through air, and you're not the biggest dude in the world, certainly not by the standards of, you know, the other 21 guys on the field with you, then that can lead to problems. But look, he's the singular reason that was a ball game. I mean, you take the only explosive plays they got were him. It was off, like the rushing yards they got weren't designed runs. They were dropbacks. In some cases, play action dropbacks. In some cases, straight dropbacks where he didn't like what he saw, so he just ran. And normally, the run to set up Tucker's field goal with 37 seconds left by the time he kicks that, and no timeouts with their defense. Normally, that's enough. The odd thing there is they got beat on a three-man rush, so they got beat bringing the house repeatedly, and then they go to a three-man rush and they get carved up by Carr there too. But I think, you know, you look at what Lamar Jackson did—the first touchdown in the back of the end zone, the pass to Watkins, the big runs. He managed the game. He put them in position to win. They had the game won, and the defense was out of gas.
No Peters, and certainly you've mentioned it a couple of times, and the exasperation in your voice is there by Derek Carr.
Well, no, I mean, not that he got anything away from him.
No, but just saying that he made these massive throws downfield that we're not used to him pushing the ball. With this level of regularity.
No, certainly not pushing it to anybody other than Waller. And I think it was obviously the emergence of Edwards and him starting to pick on Anthony Averett, who now became a starting corner because no Marcus Peters. And then normally if there's a matchup like that, Swapenith, who's one of the best corner franchise history, but he missed also leading up to the opener, and he wasn't ready to go tonight. So then you start getting into the deep. I mean, and that's just the craziness of the NFL, where you would have looked at the Ravens 2 weeks ago, and you would have said that secondary group is as deep as any in the league, and you would have said the running back group with Dobbins and Edwards and what Lamar can do and whoever wins the other job, and it probably would have been Tyson Williams over Justice Hill at that point. You looked at that group and said, wow, pretty stout. And then, you know, here you are. You play the first game, and both those issues have to be areas of concern, especially if they're not going to be able to run the kind of volume that they like to run with those quarterback options.
Now, you mentioned Wink Martindale, Jay, and I got a breaking story in here that actually Greg Williams got to the booth and actually called that last defense with everybody up on the line and Derek Carr somehow throwing to a wide-open Zay Jones. I watched that, and I said, I think Greg Williams is calling that defense for the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I'm just wondering if he's thinking we're gassed, and you know what I mean? They're probably might still be in field goal range anyway, and let's just sell out because they're going to run. But look, they got any look. If you go back and look at that game, when they brought safeties, they didn't corner blitz that much, but especially when they brought safeties and they brought linebackers blitzing, my guess is they're probably about 1 for 12. You know, Queen got home once, but that was it. And a lot of times it wasn't close. It wasn't really affecting the passer. They got a better stuff going on the fork when they just mixed up the personnel units, I felt like, and rushed four and dropped those linebackers back. But, you know, the good news is the Kansas City Chiefs come to town on Sunday night. So, I mean, that's like, you know, if you're looking for a bounce-back game, I mean, then that, you know, that's the one.
Absolute chaos ensuing. It's Jason Lockenfora with us, CBS Sports, at Jason Lockenfora, where you find him on Twitter. There, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as well. He joins us each and every week here, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox Sports Radio. Get to the other games of the week, and with big news today, is Urban Meyer going to leave and become the USC coach?
Well, the other one, I'm just going to tell you, the one that people are going to covet, too, if it keeps going the way it is, and they make a move, is LSU. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's Urban Meyer or not. People say that tongue-in-cheek, but it is not good down there whatsoever. And that was the case well before they had that absolute cluster, you know what, yesterday. And got just completely pulverized by a Houston team that's not even interested in really winning this year. So, and I don't mean that for the players and the coaches, but the construct of that team is already all about 2022. But, yeah, I mean, that obviously is a big-time job. You know, we'll see if Coach O survives that thing down there in LSU and what kind of year they're having. But those are marquee jobs. Those are the kind of jobs that guys look at and say, I could go there for a decade. I could win a ton of games. I could make a ton of money, you know, get my shots in here or there at a national championship. I mean, it's obviously happened there before. And it'll be interesting to see what route they go, whether they, you know, are seeking to get an NFL type or at least a college type who's now in the NFL, or whether that, you know, it's all about, you know, the Matt Campbells of the world or guys who've built up programs to a certain point, and now you want to see if they go over the top. But I would suspect it's from either that first group I'm talking about or that second group.
Well, because you reported earlier today that how bad things are in the coaches' room, that he wanted to win so bad in the preseason. He was yelling at coaches, and it's such a
threatening
horrible
guys with their jobs, telling them we better win this game or somebody's going to pay, belittling coaches on the practice field in front of the players. It's been bad. I mean, it's been really bad, and morale is really low, and they're not a smooth operation, and they're not all on the same page, and the communication is not good, and it all showed. I mean, all the holding penalties, the too many men on the field in critical junctures, the procedural penalties, the not getting stuff in on time, what they were doing with Lawrence in certain situations. And again, that's against a team that a lot of people thought was the worst team in the league. And it was a beatdown from the first quarter until they took the foot off the gas pedal, you know, early in the fourth quarter.
Jason Lockenfora with us. Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, so looking – I got to ask you this one more before you go, because I talked about this last hour. I really thought Zach Wilson played terrific yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Bouncing back from not only that sack where I thought he's going to be out for a year after he gets thumped, but he throws the touchdown, and under that kind of violent duress all game long, he still almost pulled off the upset. When you look at Aaron Rodgers, who was under duress the whole game, and he throws 150 yards, two picks, and gets benched. I really thought he played fantastic yesterday.
Yeah, I think he played well, too. I do worry about the cast around him. This is, you know,
it's the Jets, yeah.
The reality is he hasn't played a game yet, right? Because we're used to 16-game seasons. So he still has a full normal season ahead of him. And you're looking at that group around them saying, is this going to be enough? And if they, you know, especially the offensive line, they suffer a few more injuries. And, you know, what does that portend? But his ability to keep his eyes and feet in sync, to look people off, to make big boy throws downfield and not flinch, There was a lot to like about that performance for sure. Now, you know, the goal's got to be to cultivate him, to develop and incubate him, to get him through this season as healthy as possible, and to continue to put pieces around him, because I do have some concerns about that supporting cast.
You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider, and a guy who's going to have full phone lines tomorrow on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore.
Yeah, we can go for 6 hours tomorrow. Yeah.
you can get on the air now and start taking phone calls.
You'll be
awesome. Well, I'm going to bed now. I guarantee you that.
Well, thanks a bunch, buddy, for staying up.
Always my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
We'll talk to you. Great stuff there from Jason Lockenfora. Oh, my goodness. Now, just really quick, because we'll get into the Clay Helton story, and look, people are going to want to attach Urban Meyer to this with Clay Helton getting fired, and likely USC is not going to fill their job for another few months, right? Because all the big coaches you want, they're all coaching someplace else. No one's going to leave. But I know it's weird, but and it's an immediate thing to make, but Yeah, because this, you know, the more stories that come out, and here's Jason Lockenfour with the report of how Urban Meyer is upsetting his coaches and saying we got to win in the preseason or we're going to make changes. I mean, it could not have gone worse for Urban Meyer since he's come in. He has not had any honeymoon period because all of these decisions he's made, he's at odds with his coaches. The Tebow thing backfired on him. He'd wait to name Trevor Lawrence starting quarterback. All the mistakes they had week one where they couldn't get in and out of the huddle and they're burning two timeouts. They look like an expansion team. Yeah, this looks like a one-and-done year for Urban Meyer. And yeah, USC is going to wind up being the play. Hey, I got to go. I tried the pros. It wasn't for me. Nick Saban tried it. He went back to college. I tried it. I'm going back to college. USC, I'm ready. Hire me. I'm good.
Yeah, just an amazing run. Because if you put a list together of all the Urban Meyer stuff, the least egregious thing of any of it was the Tebow existence. Right? Because he was a non-factor until those two Ole blocks that became big deals in the preseason. He was just a guy. Trevor Lawrence got to work in anonymity. We had all these other issues that were going on. And now you have a disaster of a game. Congratulations to David Culley and to Lovie Smith and all the guys there in Houston and the effort they put forward, because they'd heard all of the talk. And what did they do? They went out and bludgeoned. They bludgeoned Urban Meyer and the shiny new toy that is Trevor Lawrence. He finished with a fine stat box score, but it doesn't take away how ugly the film is if you watch that game as a whole.
Oh, yeah, it was awful. It was awful. They've had no positive moments. Even the drafting of Trevor Lawrence, hey, we got to be excited about that for a little bit. Now it's, oh, yeah, no, this has just gone awful. I mean, they've had no good days. I mean, Urban Meyer is having an Adam Gase-like effect on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow.
Woo, man.
You want to double down? Drop a coat tight, and you really got something going, baby. Yeah!
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Wow!
And did we really see something? The Raiders beat the Ravens 33-27 in a game that can be only summed up as Raider-esque. Now, we got a big thing coming up here because there's a guy I criticize a lot, and if what we saw from him tonight is what we're going to see, watch out for
New
the
world.
Raiders.
Yep.
But let's just encapsulate how this game ended. And if you are the Ravens, it's one of those games that you think about forever because the Raiders tried to hand you this game so many times, okay? You had a game in overtime where the Raiders were driving down for the game-winning score, and Derek Carr was doing whatever he wanted to tonight. He threw the ball 56 times. It was a big night for him. He completes a pass to Edwards that looks like it's a touchdown, game over, right? He catches the pass down at the 5, leans the ball over the pylon, the goal line for a touchdown. Referee rules touchdown. The Raiders are on the field celebrating. They're celebrating. Lamar Jackson's hugging Derek Carr, and it looks like that's the end of the game. But you see the replay, and the replay shows that clearly Edwards was down at about the half-yard line. Now, he made a great play, tried to do it, but Bryan Edwards clearly was ruled down. So, okay, Raiders have to come out. You know, when touchdown wins the game. Their first play is an over-the-top run where Derek Carr is supposed to try to lead the ball over the goal line. Doesn't work. He loses about a quarter of a yard. All right. Second down. False start on Alex Leatherwood. Moves him back 5 yards. Now the Raiders are completely raidering, right? This is a complete and total raidering. Second down pass to Hunter Renfro is incomplete. Third down, Derek Carr tries to muscle the ball into the end zone. It gets deflected, and the Ravens intercept the ball. Raiders gonna raider. So now the Ravens have the ball at their 20-yard line. Lamar Jackson facing a big third down, fumbles, not holding on to the football, not taking care of it. The Raiders take over. All right, hey, now the Raiders can win this game again. And you and I said, hey, just go out there, just kick the field goal right away. The Raiders run a first down play that gains a yard, and then John Gruden sends the field goal unit on for a game-winning field goal. This is a 45-yard field goal that Carlson's coming out for. Not a gimme from 28 yards. This is a 45-yarder. But rather than go through the ridiculous explosion that they had in the possession before, he decides we're better off kicking a field goal now. We're better off kicking a 45-yarder. It's like, are you kidding me? You're going to kick a 45-yarder rather than try to run a couple more plays again? No, no, no. My offense is terrible. So the Raiders go out to kick a field goal. However, they let the play clock expire.
They couldn't find the kicker.
They could. They were shocked that he had to get out there. They didn't have enough time. Carlson's like, you want me now? You want me now? Oh, I better get out there. He's like Jamie Foxx on any given Sunday. He's got to throw. Oh, I'm in the game. I'm in the game now.
Where's your helmet, son?
No time. So now they pull him back off the field, and they send the offense back out there because now it's a 50-yard field goal you'll be trying. All right. First play, the Ravens line up everybody within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. It's like Greg Williams is calling this defense, and Derek Carr is rushed, and off his back foot, he chucks it up as far as he can. Zay Jones is far behind Humphrey, and he catches the ball at the goal line, and it's an easy touchdown, and the Raiders win it 33-27. The Raiders do everything they can to hand this game to the Ravens, and the Ravens say, nope, we're going to give it back to you. It was that kind. It's a game, like, if I'm a Ravens fan, I don't go to sleep tonight. It's like, I can't watch football for a week and a half. We got the Chiefs coming in next week. This was terrible. I'm done if I'm a Ravens fan. I can't. This one's game is going to gnaw at me forever because it's a Monday night game. It's completely embarrassing. The Raiders embarrass themselves and still know we're gonna give you back this game. But for the Raiders, I will say this. I criticize Derek Carr a lot, you and I both, because what the guy does is he throws the ball 5 yards past the line of scrimmage with a lot of accuracy, right? There's a reason why Derek Carr is responsible for being the highest, completing the highest percentage of passes sure. in the NFL on a yearly basis, because he doesn't throw the football downfield, when clearly that's a Raiders thing, right? The Raiders need to go downfield with the ball. But the last 3 years, he has concentrated on throwing the ball short, right? His completion percentage is up at 70%, but he's barely touching 4,000 yards. He's not going downfield with the ball a lot. But what did we see tonight from Derek Carr? Downfield the entire night. His drive for the game-tying field goal at the end of regulation, a couple of big passes, 20-yard passes up the middle of the field. Derek Carr was going upfield and downfield with regularity. He throws for 435 on the night, right? And if this is going to be the Raiders, if the Raiders have finally said, you know what, we need something more, and we're going to unleash the throwing game a little bit, because tonight, Josh Jacobs carried the ball 10 times, right? They called 21 running plays. They threw the ball 56 times. If this is the Raiders team and this is the kind of offense we're going to get and Derek Carr is going to throw the football like this, watch out for the Raiders, because that's all that's missing from a team that has a lot of talent and they've drafted well enough the last few years. Being more dynamic, that's what you need to be in the NFL, man. You can't rely on trying to get down the field in these 10, 12-yard drives all the time. It doesn't work. If this are the real Raiders, man, look out. Not that you got to throw the ball 56 times every week, but when you can throw the ball like this down the field, look out. This is where the Raiders can take that next step.
Well, and that's the curiosity of it, right? Certainly they've built for it, and as we talk with Jason Lockett for some of it, personnel issues for the Ravens and some of the injuries, and you look at, it's usually been Darren Waller. Well, you've got Ruggs. You've got Zay Jones, as you saw on that final play. Well, he was a speedster who couldn't stay on the field back in Buffalo. You've got Edwards, who shone a little bit in spots a year ago and going back even before that. So now you've got them. Remember, tonight they played without Richie Incognito on the offensive line, and Leatherwood, it's his first start in the National Football League. So going up against a Ravens front, you're expecting that to be a difficult task, and they acquitted themselves pretty well over the course of the night. The run game will be better with Josh Jacobs. It can't be any worse. And I know he scored a couple of touchdowns. We've talked about that. That's good. But the per carry average will be better in subsequent games. Yeah, if Derek Carr is going to take advantage of the speed that's on the outside and that offensive line holds up enough to give him time to do so, I'm curious to see how this goes, right? Because that's what Gruden wanted. That's the history of the Raiders. That would be the ultimate tribute to Al Davis, not just, I don't want to dismiss the guy that was dressed up like Al Davis, the impersonator that was walking around taking pictures with folks today. I mean, that's kind of cool and inspired in the white tracksuit. But you've got guys that can go run under it. And clearly Derek Carr has always had the arm strength. right? If you give a guy enough time in the NFL, I go back to the Bears game watching it against Matthew Stafford yesterday, and we've always known this about Stafford, but if you can throw to air because your line's giving you time to work and your secondary has that pressure on them, right? You're getting into one-on-one coverage and you can just let guys run under it, you've got big potential across the board. So, yeah, their defense is going to be curious at times. A couple of big turnovers on Lamar Jackson tonight against a depleted offensive line and system for Baltimore. But make no excuses on it. The eyebrows raised, and I'm really curious to see where the Raiders go from here. Yeah, Carr's always been a 68%, 70% guy. Now you can add in some of the deep throws. Hey, AFC West, 4-0 this weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you, hey, some divisions are showing, hey, we're all pretty good. Hey, the NFC West, hey, you know what? We're pretty good. Some other divisions, hey, you know what? We're really not very good. Don't tell anybody, but we're really not
Hey, you know
good.
What? I'm the what are you making fun of the NFC North and their 0-4? Captain Kirk failed. Aaron Rodgers didn't show up.
I'm not saying it. You did. I'm not saying that. You said it.
Matt Nagy sabotaged the Bears. And then Detroit showed some fight after getting down huge.
Man.
To Jimmy.
This is some kind of night for the Raiders. Again, watch out for the Raiders. But
be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're saying things, and they're saying things that makes your head want to explode. Let me just say this, right? John Gruden, who's coached the NFL for a long time now, he has coached among some of the great players he has coached in his coaching career. Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, Charles Woodson, John Lynch. Those are six Hall of Fame players. Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver to ever play the game. Tim Brown's in the top 10. Warren Sapp is one of the greatest defensive linemen to ever play the game. Charles Woodson, maybe one of the top five defensive backs to ever play the game. Maybe one of the top three defensive backs to ever play the game. All Hall of Famers. But after tonight's game, in which he had a pretty good game, John Gruden said that tight end Darren Waller is the best player he's ever coached.
Well, then.
That sound is my head exploding.
Well, you know what? Prisoners of the moment, some would say. Others are, hey, we got to talk about what is as opposed to comparing him to the legends of the past here. I'm just going to make a blanket statement.
Best player he's ever coached. He has had two phenomenal years. I don't want to sell Darren Waller short as a player, right? He has had two phenomenal seasons, right? 90 catches in 2019 for the Raiders, 107 catches last year. He's off to a great start with 10 catches in the opening game this year. But he says Darren Waller is the best player he's ever coached.
So what he's telling me is they're afraid he's going to want more money since he only signed for $6.3 million and since he's essentially used as a wideout. What do you have, 19 targets tonight?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to want more money saying, I do as much work or more as all these top receivers. So, yeah, he's kissing his ass right now to avoid getting into those. Yeah, no, best player ever.
Goodness.
Best player I've ever coached. Let's not talk about any of these other things and outperforming the contract you signed that isn't expiring till the end of the 2023 season. Nope. Let's push that out there. Greatest player I've ever had.
Let's take a listen. Here's John Gruden talking about it after the game. What? You know, let me tell you guys. I'll tell you this, Darren Waller, he's the greatest guy I've ever seen. That Jason Smith, he knows how to talk on the radio really good. He can talk all day, all night. And that Harmon guy, I tell you, he looks good in a pair of purple shorts. I'll tell you, those muscles that I see off of him, boy, I'll tell you, he can explode off the line of scrimmage. I bet you his 10-yard burst is like 1.4 seconds. But this Darren Waller, he's terrific. Okay, now we have John Gruden.
We threw it 60 times, probably, you right, know, okay. And if you threw it 60 times, you know, you'd probably target him 29 times. I thought he mishandled a ball or two, uncharacteristically. He had a penalty called back, a big catch and run. He's the best player I've ever coached, so I'm going to continue to look for him. And sorry about that, Vic, but, you know, he's a hell of a player. He deserves some good looks.
He's the best player. It's like he realized, oh boy, why did I just say that? I've coached a lot of really good guys. Charles Woodson standing in front of me, and he's making a big fist. He's actually at the game. He's going to want to come at me after this.
Can I just say, this is the first time, because they showed a bunch of, he was sitting with Mark Davis. This is the first time I think I've ever seen Charles Woodson where he wasn't either suited up with the ascot or in a football uniform. He was wearing a t-shirt and wearing a hat. And not a jaunty hat, just a ball cap. I'm like, wait, it's Charles Woodson. Get a picture of that. That's new stuff right there. Crazy. I had to do a double take.
Mark Davis is the best owner I've ever coached for. Okay?
Give you $100 million, buddy.
I'll tell you, the benefit of the doubt. Zay Jones is the best wide receiver I've ever had to coach. He's better than anybody. Nobody else could get open on that play like Zay Jones did. He's fantastic. He's terrific.
Let's go to hyperbole.
He's
101,
the best player I ever coached. All these guys in the Hall of Fame, all with gold jackets. It's, you know, it'd be one thing if he didn't coach Jerry Bleepin' Rice. This is the best. I mean, look, Darren Waller, I feel bad because Darren Waller is terrific. He's one of the top tight ends in the game. In fact, you could say anybody not named Travis Kelce. Yeah, Darren Waller is that good, but wow, man, really? He's the best player I ever coached. Oh, boy, why did I say that? No, I shouldn't have said that.
Warren Sapp's going to go kick his ass.
He's going to have to go pick it up by saying everybody else is the best player he's ever coached, so we can kind of just even it out a little bit. Derek Carr is the greatest quarterback in the history of the game.
Daniel Carlson is the greatest kicker ever.
No, I'll tell you, I'll take him over Vinatieri in the snow any day of the week. This guy is fantastic right here. There's nobody better than that. Man, Josh Jacobs is the best running back I've ever seen. He makes Barry Sanders look like he's running in mud. This guy is fantastic. Marcus Mariota might be the second best quarterback to ever play the game. Who could have a 30-yard run tonight like him? Not Brady. Forget about the rings. It's Marcus Mariota. Really. That's how it goes. He may be right here even on the list. He's that good. Twitter and how about a Fresca, Mike and Swollen Dome. I really can't get over that. I can't get over that.
That's great.
Best player I ever coached. We have more madness and insanity from this game coming up next. Keep it right here, Jason and Mike. This is Fox Sports Radio. I tell you, that Fox Sports Radio, that's the greatest radio station I've ever heard in my life. It is fantastic. All those guys on the air there. And that guy, Tyshirt, who presses the buttons on the other side, he eats healthy. I want to eat lunch one day with Tyshirt because he's that kind of health guy. He plays the Tebow drops. He does the Cleveland thing. I love all that from him.
Cleveland!
He's fantastic. He's the best entertainer in the history of the world. Not Bob Hope, not George Clooney. It's that Alex Teicher. Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And I'll tell you, that was some kind of game between the Raiders and the Ravens. Dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, well, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. They're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. So we've talked a lot about the Raiders, and we'll have more on them coming up in a few minutes because this game just symbolizes the franchise. But For the Ravens, you know, we talked to Jason Lockenfour early this hour, and you and I got into this actually in the third quarter of the game when it was a 17-17 game where the Ravens were really struggling. It's hard to buy on the Ravens this year because if you're not getting better in the NFL, you're standing still. And the Ravens clearly thought they were getting better, but you had a rash of running back injuries that would hurt anybody. And watching the Ravens play tonight, there is so much on Lamar Jackson's plate that it's hard for me to think that what the Ravens have had to go through with losing the running backs and not really having another wide receiver outside of Sammy Watkins, how are they going to win games? Their offensive line is brutal. Look, I know that they've been good for the past few years and they have one of the most exciting quarterbacks in the game, but that doesn't mean every year is always going to be good. You're going to find times where, hey, we're the same and we're struggling. Look, the Titans went through that on Sunday. Hey, Titans have been really good, but it's been the same team for the last 3 years. Eventually, someone's going to catch up to them and they're going to understand, okay, this is how we're going to figure out the Titans. Titans are doing the same things now they didn't 2018 when they were, hey, here they are, and it's Tannehill, and it's Henry, and it's everything. Eventually, you get caught up to, and with the Ravens, that's kind of what I see. Lamar Jackson's going to have to do it all by himself. It's almost like they've regressed and gone back to where they were before this last couple of years. And yeah, the injuries have a lot to do with it, running back, but I can't really buy the Ravens on this, Mike. I wonder what kind of year it's going to be for Lamar Jackson. If it's going to be every week I'm running out of trouble, in and out of trouble, I'm trying to hold on to the football. He had two horrible fumbles tonight that really killed them. I can't really buy the Ravens.
Well, and the hard part of it, as we went through it with Jason Lockenfour, is that you have so many other questions that the running back is lower, right? You can always find another running back to be okay. Right, and Tyson Williams had the big 35-yard run. You look at a little bit of love from Latavius Murray, but you got the offensive line that you're trying to get back together, and Ronnie Stanley coming off the injury, and it's going to take a little time for him to be 100% right and for that rhythm to go. Your wide receiver question, right? You drafted Rashad Bateman thinking he would help alongside Andrews, who did get his big contract, right? Used about as much as Waller oftentimes. And then you bring in Sammy Watkins. Is he a world beater? No, but if he can stay healthy, you at least think you've made a push forward there. But losing Marcus Peters, a big loss in that secondary, and that showed tonight against this Raiders squad as you watch Derek Carr push the ball downfield with great accuracy and frequency and success. So to take it further, you've got the rest of the division because Cincinnati got a big win this week. How good they are, I don't know, but you got three wide receivers, and Ja'Marr Chase figured out how to catch the ball this week. So all of a sudden, you got that working for you. And Joe Mixon, so long as he's healthy, you've got a potent offense. You look at Cleveland. They lose to Kansas City, but they're going to be fantastic over the balance of a season, one would have to agree. And they've got Houston this week. And then you got the Steelers, who everybody was sleeping on. Was hoping they'd lose, you know, selfishly for the betting possibility.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. It's hard to buy the Ravens. Can you buy the Raiders after what you're going to hear John Gruden say next? Fox. Oh boy.